Blog Talk Radio.
Are we still talking, Denise, or are we waiting?
We're waiting.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong, profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths. And every week, every Friday, I'm honored to share the microphone with the most interesting entrepreneurs. These are people who are authors. They may be speakers. They may be small business owners, virtual assistants, web developers. They are people who have stepped out of the job kind of mindset and gone down the entrepreneurial path, and they're fascinating people. They have wonderful stories to share, and they are excited to freely share their business wisdoms, their tips, and actionable advice with their audience. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And today I get to welcome to the show Susie Miller. She is known internationally as the Better Relationship Coach, and she is also an author, speaker, and a coach. Susie is dedicated to helping you create better relationships in 30 days or less, even if you're the only one making the effort. We have a lot to talk about there. So as a therapist turned coach, Susie equips high potential entrepreneurs and executives to reduce stress, improve communication, increase intimacy, and not bankrupt their relationships in pursuit of profits and success. She believes that relationships are the currency of the day, and creating better ones is vital to success, really in all areas of life, and that makes sense. So for over 20 years, she has helped people not settle for mediocre relationships with God, themselves, and others, and you know, she really works hard at getting us to understand why relationships are so important. Even if you're like me and you're a high-functioning loner, you still have to have those relationships. Susie is also a cancer survivor, and her story includes overcoming numerous life challenges, but she's known for her outlook on life as a possibilitarian. I could see it, but I couldn't pronounce it, but I like it. So, Susie, welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you here. We have multiple friends in common, and I've been told by Brad Zolas and a couple of other people, you've got to get her on your show. And here you are.
Thank you so much for having me, Denise. I really appreciate it. I've been looking forward to it. We do have a lot of friends in common, and the fun thing for me is, as a therapist turned coach who worked in the relationship world for so long, I'm now working with more and more business folks who are really seeing that it is their relationships that determine their success, both their professional relationships but also how they navigate their personal relationships. And that idea of they really are the currency of today. So I've started speaking more at business events, and I love doing that and helping, you know, any business conference have an idea of, hey, you're pursuing all this growth and success for your relationships. The why often is related to some family or lifestyle that you want, and yet there's not a lot of teaching and talking about how to do that. So I've come up with a profit method and really enjoy helping people with just really embracing that and seeing what it's like to enjoy both success in business, to win at business and win at love or at relationships. So it's been a lot of fun.
And it does make sense. I mean, particularly if you're an entrepreneur, and many of us these days are working from our home offices. You know, it used to be that if you had a home office, the IRS was going to come down hard on you. Now it's just a given that most everybody has some office space. That's a broad generalization, but most people have some office space in their home, which means that literally you're bringing it home with you. You are living it, so it would make sense that your personal relationships have to take priority since it's in your home, right?
Yes. I think it's interesting for me. One of the things that I've noticed is that in my 20-plus years of working with couples and men and individuals, one of the things that the spouses of both busy executives and high income entrepreneurs always say is, I feel like this is the mistress or the affair I said yes to, because this is our livelihood, this provides for our family, and yet my spouse's face lights up, you know, when he talks about their business, or she's consumed with thinking about it. And the only other time they usually feel that way is when you're falling in love. And so, you know, there's this idea I've come up with of what I call the entre-spouse, both an entrepreneur and a spouse, and trying to really navigate that in a way that helps you build a strong marriage or a strong family relationship and not sacrifice your business, and vice versa. Because a lot of times what we do is we tunnel vision on our business and hope our relationships will be there later, and oftentimes they're not.
Listen, I've been down that road, and frankly, I was the guilty party. So I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about. I am a high-functioning, committed workaholic. I'm also an introvert. That's not good for any kind of a marriage or a relationship. And once you start to let that spiral out of control, it's hard to pull it back, if you even want to.
You know, that's so well said, Denise, and so, you know, courageous of you to admit. I think a lot of people don't want to say it's hard or I'm struggling or I blew it. And we do have a number of mutual friends who I've interviewed on my show who've talked about, gosh, I wish I knew this before, because it got so out of hand that, you know, it was just time to move on, and yet I want to use these things for the next time, not just in my personal relationships, but in the whole professional world as well. It really makes a huge difference. So I'm really excited to talk with you about that today.
Well, it really does, and I'm so glad we are talking about this. Not that I'm, you know, wanting to share a lot of my personal life, but let's face it, as we conduct business these days, our personal life does bleed into our professional life and vice versa. And you have to, I think, this is just my personal observation, I think you have to be careful where that bleed or lap, you know, crossover happens. But you also can't shut the doors. You can't just slam the door and say, okay, this is my office. Nobody come in here. I shoot you. You're just doing
that. Well, and here's what's funny that I see, Denise, is, you know, it's when we have a bad day at work or we have a tough day or disappointment, that affects our mood and our attitude, and that kind of comes home with us. Vice versa is true as well. When we have a tough time at home, it's really difficult to take that, to not take that into work. And so I think as much as we might not bleed over the information, and there's this reality that our personal relationship impact the way we conduct our business and our professional relationships. And so even Forbes did a study recently where they said that people with healthy, positive personal relationships at home tended to make 11 to 25% more than those who didn't have them, because there is that, not only do they learn the skills to have good relationships like communication and listening, which bleed over into their business, there's just a sense of completeness and a sense of enjoying life more, which really opens up the door to more possibilities at work. So it really is kind of, to me, very intertwined. In my book, Listen, Learn, Love, How to Dramatically Improve Your Relationships in 30 Days or Less, I talk about the fact that relationships are the currency of today. So we've got to learn to build good ones.
So you work with a lot of people who are in, I guess we can only kind of term this the new reality, where many of us are working from home. We are entrepreneurs. We are, you know, we're doing what we do for the best of reasons. Obviously we are, but so many things can go wrong, and your family can get hurt, your spouse can get hurt, your business can get hurt. Do you have any case studies where you've worked with somebody that just really turned it around? Can you give us any kind of information that gives people hope? And I know that sounds broad, but it's tough. It's really tough.
It really
when
is.
You're at, you know, doing everything from a home office, from cooking to building websites to walking the dog, it can get muddy. And I think some
it really does.
Can build, can't it?
Yes, and resentment is something I deal with a lot of my clients.
I bet.
I'm going to be careful. I'm sorry?
But I bet. Yeah, just, I mean, don't give us any specifics. Just maybe how you
talk
to somebody, obviously.
You know, yeah, with, you know, 20 years of doing this, I think I logged one day, I've done over 12,700, you know, one-on-one hours or couple on, you know, couple hours. where I work with a couple, I have a lot of ideas, a lot of case studies, a lot of examples, and in my book I share some of them. But I'll tell you what, the best case study I can give you that I can actually give you some details about is actually my own. And we've been married for 32 years, my husband and I, and I recently spoke at a business conference where I shared what I call my profit method. And I began with this story, and this probably will resonate. You know, we had a really successful life. We lived in the big house in the suburbs. We had three, you know, happy, engaged teenagers, two very successful careers. You know, we had financial freedom. We were involved in our community. And, you know, on the surface, life was grand. And I remember standing in our kitchen late one night. It was about 15 years ago. And our kids were upstairs. And I looked at my husband, John, and I said, I love you. And I can't imagine my life without you. But I hate our life. Something has to change. Because you see, Denise, success had taken this toll on our marriage. It wasn't that we were fighting. We were just drifting apart. And I knew in my gut, if we didn't do something, we weren't going to make it. And so I often talk to people about being an entrepreneur is like being two boats taken off from the same shore, headed in the same direction. But each little move of the rudder takes you further and further apart, and you can end up on opposite shores. The good news to that is each little move of the rudder can bring you back as well. And so what we did was first recognize that things weren't quite where we wanted them to be, and awareness is the first step of all growth. And then we kind of looked at each other and like, what are we going to do to make it a difference? Because 15 years from now, we want to still be together. And it was really fun when we kind of marked the 15 years later, which was a couple years back. Gosh, we had made it. We fought hard to be here. And I think the reality is good relationships take work. They take effort. But I teach a lot of kind of that intentional effort, almost what I call the drip campaign in our new reality, so that people don't think, oh, my gosh, I'm building a business. I don't have time for people. I don't have time for relationships. I'll get to it eventually. And when you get to it eventually, sometimes you turn around and they're no longer there.
Yep, that's exactly right. So what sent you down this path? I mean, there's got to be a great story behind this. You didn't just kind of wake up one day and go, oh, well, I've got a new product. How did this happen?
You know, it's such a great question, Denise. Thanks for asking it. When I wrote my book, I talked a lot about the different examples of the clients I had worked with. And a couple years back when I moved into coaching, I realized that I was working with more and more men entrepreneurs. At this time, I live outside the D.C. area, or executives. And suddenly, you know, they'd come in because their wife would drag them in and say, we need to work on something. And then they'd agree, and they'd stay. They're like, you didn't nail me to the wall. You kind of made me understand myself and her. This coaching thing's pretty cool. Can I keep in touch? And I was like, sure. I had like a maintenance program they could get in and work with me, you know, a little check-in. And so what started happening is I'd have this check-in with they'd call in for their 15-minute check-in, and, you know, they'd say, hey, my buddy Bob's going to give you a call. You know, I told him about how you helped me, and I really want him to connect with you. Or, hey, I shared about what happened with my golf buddies because they knew, you know, things were tough. And not that guys talk a lot, but it was this idea of, hey, you got to go talk to Susie. And all of a sudden, I stepped back, and my coaching practice was filled with businessmen, entrepreneurs, high-level executives who were like, okay, I love my success. I'm working in my business, and I love it. And how do I, you know, connect again with my wife, my kids? How do I not, you know, lose my marriage, bankrupt my marriage with respect to the, you know, the future? And so I realized that there was a real need for this profit method. I've been working with marriages for 20 years. And so it was very fun to kind of think, what am I starting to tell these group of people over and over? And it is the same for women. I think it's actually harder for women who are entrepreneurs, and we can talk about that. But all of a sudden, I kind of looked back and went, wow, I'm saying the same thing a lot. And so what if I find a way to make a program out of this where people who might not be able to get into my coaching program, you know, it fills up pretty quickly, can at least get a product where they can look at it. Or for me, then I started getting asked to speak at conferences where they're like, you know, we're teaching all this business stuff, but would you come and speak about how to, you know, keep your relationships profitable or strong while you're doing it? And that's kind of taken off. It's been really fun.
So it was a synergy. It just kind of all happened and you started paying attention, because that happens. I'm seeing it happen in my life. I see it happen in people that I interview, people that I do a lot of business with. And it's almost like the universe is saying, hello, hello,
yes.
Hello. And I'm having that happen right now. I mean, the universe finally got tired of tapping me on the shoulder and knocking me in the head the other day. I said, all right, fine. And I wrote it all
okay,
down.
Okay, you win. Right.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
got,
it's
I'm
funny.
Listening.
Yeah, it's so funny. I have a client, you talked about case studies, and I talked, a client that came to mind, and his name is Walter. We called him that in our book. And in my book, I talk about the fact that if you think you're in here, you're not. It's always a conglomeration just to protect my clients. But there was this idea of he was a busy executive. And then he came home and started being a really successful entrepreneur. And it was kind of the same thing where you shut the door and say, well, Dad's in his office, don't bug him. And he had to literally begin to set an alarm and have his calendar go off and say, you know, the kids are coming home from school, walk to the bus stop, you know, or check in with them at snack time and then go back to work. Or, you know, the ball game is on Thursday. You know, there might be one on Tuesday, but my son really wants me to come on Thursday. I'm going to shut down and have that scheduled so I can be at this event with my kid. And so as we worked together to look at what was the realistic piece of his life, like he looked at me and said, look, I'm putting 110% in my business to really keep it successful and grow it to the next level. We're, you know, scaling it at this point. And I don't have 110% of my energy to put with my family and my marriage, but they are important to me. You know, my wife keeps saying, well, we're not a priority because I'm not seeing the same, you know, commitment. And so what we did was we talked about the fact that you could be 110% present with your family, with your spouse, with your friends, in your personal relationships when you had that time carved out. Because a lot of times what happens with entrepreneurs, and this happens to me all the time, I'll be sitting with my kid or my, you know, my husband, and my smartphone will be in my hand, and I'm just like, oh, you know, let me just scroll and see what's going on. And we're not 100% present. And so that was one thing that, you know, this man Walter began to do, where he put down his technology, and when he was with them, he was 110% with them. And what that did for his personal relationships was the people felt important, and they didn't need the quantity time because they had quality time.
And I love that idea. Listen, I have a rule in my house, and, you know, I live alone. I will always live alone. But when people come over for an event or a gathering or Thanksgiving dinner, the rule is you leave your electronics in the car, period.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had one Thanksgiving some years ago where everybody, I'm in the kitchen, I'm cooking, and I realized it's very, very quiet, which is unusual for a holiday gathering, yes? I turned mm-hmm. around, and darned if everybody didn't have out an iPad or an iPhone, I lost it very quietly. I stomped out of the kitchen. I don't yell. I never raise my voice. Not necessary. I have big words. I required every one of them to shut it down and move them out, take them outside. Mm-hmm. And after that, we were there for Thanksgiving, which is a time of gathering, of thankfulness. And the rule is when you come in my home, don't bring your phone. Just don't. If it's in your purse, turn it off. I will do you the same courtesy.
And it's interesting, Diane, those same rules, those same practices that make personal relationships strong transfer into the business world in a way that really can catapult your business success because people want to know they matter. It's we do business with people who know, like, and trust us, but how do we get people to know, like, and trust us? And one of the key ways of doing that is that personal relationship that is different, that sets you apart from everybody else who is too busy to chat or is always distracted. And so one of the things I teach is this idea of, you know, asking the next question. You know, you get to work sometimes or, you know, you might be at a networking event and you'll see somebody you know and you say, hey, I might see you and go, hey, Denise, how you doing? And you would answer, you know,
I'm great.
Yeah, great. And we kind of keep walking by each other, right? And what I've said to people is, what if you had, like, in your mind a set of questions like, well, why are you doing Peachy? What's going on?
Well, you know, in the Deep South, actually, I answered that incorrectly. I was taught that when somebody says, hey, how are you doing? Your response mm-hmm. is always, I'm well, thank you, and you.
And you,
keeps the conversation going. You don't
exactly
keep on going unless you really don't want to talk to them.
Right, but you're from the South.
Right.
And that's a different way of thinking. I think most people would be, hey, how you doing? Great. You too, great. How was your weekend? Good. Yours? Good. And there's no connecting conversation. And so I've said to my clients, what if you said, well, why was your weekend good? Or why are you doing well, Denise?
Yeah.
And that's true.
Because you do have that little bit of conversation. Of course, you can take it as far as you need to or cut it short, but at least you've evinced some interest in the other person, which really
is a level of connection.
That's all we need. Right.
Right. Right. Exactly. It doesn't have to be like, it can be my weekend was great because my wife and I went on a hike. Or I really enjoyed the weather. You know, fall's my favorite season. It doesn't have to be personal information that is, you know, inappropriate to business setting, but it allows people, whenever anybody talks about themselves, they like the conversation better. They like you better. And it gives that moment of connection that sets you apart in the business world, because it's often, what can I do for you so you hire me?
Well, and you said something, Susie, really interesting to me, because you said something about distractions. And I coach a lot of virtual assistants and mentor them.
Mm-hmm.
One of my big gripes with people, I don't care if you're my client or my mom, I don't care who you are. If I'm talking with you, if I've taken the time out of my seriously very busy schedule and I'm interested mm-hmm. enough in you to speak with you, don't clack your keyboard. Don't eat your lunch. Please,
mm-hmm.
just don't. Take the time to really concentrate and listen to what I have to say, and I will do the same for you. One of the biggest deterrents to people getting along through social media, through the telephone, through email, is to know that the other person really is not paying a lick of attention to you. And
right.
we can tell, by the way. We can tell.
Uh-huh.
And you do enough of that too many times, and you've lost somebody.
Right, right. There really is... needs to be the discipline of, if you're on an interview, if you're chatting with somebody, that you shut down the windows on your computer, that you turn your back on it. Because I've been on conversations with somebody, actually was coaching a man, an entrepreneur, very successful entrepreneur, and I could tell he was multitasking. And I said to him, I waited a few times, and I said, are you multitasking? I said, yeah. And I said, our next call is going to be on Skype rather than just phone, because this matters. Like, I'm not going to waste your money and both of our time. And it wasn't in an angry way. It was you set aside this slot of time to talk about building stronger relationships with your wife, your kids, and thus your business partner and your colleagues. If you're busy doing, checking email and, shooting off a few Facebook messages, you're not focused. And it was really an interesting kind of stop. It was one of those things where there was this idea of, well, that makes sense. Let me go ahead and shut it down. And it really matters. I think we don't think it matters because we think we're good at multitasking. And I know there have been studies that have said that damages our brain. We're not good at multitasking. And not only that, I love what you said, Denise, it doesn't communicate to the other person that they matter. And we all ultimately want to know we matter. I'm going to do business with somebody who makes me feel like I'm important to them.
And it doesn't have to be an hour-long conversation. It can be 5 minutes. But honestly, I have a client that will call me always from her car, which I hate. And I've gotten to where I tell her, don't call me when you're moving. Don't. It's dangerous. Just don't. I will not take the call. But for a while there, she would not only call me from her car, but she would be eating at the same time. And, boy, my flesh just crawled just thinking about it. In my ear. And I finally just sat her down and had basically that conversation. You're not paying attention to me. You're not paying attention to the road. You're paying me to be on the phone with you. You are wasting your time and mine.
Uh-huh.
And I was very kind about it, but she just said, oh. But she said, I'm always on the run. I understand. But you can carve out 5 minutes somewhere to get on the phone, and we can cover everything that we need to cover if we have a strategic plan to do so. And you're not going through a drive-through window or chewing in my ear, because I just think it's rude. And it makes
it is
me a little
rude.
Nauseated. But once I pointed that out, she said, oh, Denise, I'm so sorry, I didn't know. Well, she didn't know, because we're so accustomed to multitasking.
Great word.
I mean, for instance, right now I'm on the phone with you, because I do these interviews by phone. I've got a bank of monitors behind me. My back is turned to my monitors. I only turn around if I want to look at my notes to remind myself
mm-hmm.
to ask you something. I'm
mm-hmm.
looking out the window. I'm enjoying the gorgeous weather, and I'm listening very intently to you because I want to learn from you.
Right.
I don't
and
need
same
to
here.
Multitask.
Well, we do a disservice when we multitask, and it's so funny. I have the same thing. I'm looking out my window at these beautiful fall trees, and I'm very focused and intent on the interview. And honestly, I think that communicates respect, and it is a sense of honoring the time. And it also breeds a much more rich conversation than kind of half paying attention. And it's so funny that you said that about being in the car. I'm one of five kids, and my mom is a widow and lives in Florida. None of us live there near her. And there's four girls and one boy, and she'll always joke that she talks to us the most in the car. Like, we're really busy, and, you know, when we're driving, we have quote-unquote time. And my mom's one of my closest friends, and the other day I said to her, you know, I called her, it was about the middle of the day, and I said, I'm sitting down having a cup of tea with you. And she was like, really? Because she knew she would get more of me. And it was so she so enjoyed it. She was so excited by that. She felt cared for that. I was like, yeah. And she said, that's really nice. Thank you. And, you know, that's my mom, and you know, who I love spending time with, and isn't going to be here someday. Think about that with a business partner. Think about that with somebody who you're wanting to build a relationship with or connect with or coach or even interview to be a potential client. They're going to know the difference, don't you think?
They absolutely will. You know that old adage that's kind of popped up, it's maybe not that old, but I'm not sure how long phones have been around, but, you know, that old thing is answer the phone when you're smiling. People can tell. It's amazing what we know without seeing anything. So be present. I mean, I love what you're saying. Be present. But for the longest kind of time, Susie, I prided myself on how much multitasking I could do.
Oh,
I'm
me
a
too.
Web developer. I'm a, you know, I do all this stuff. And I found out that my brain was just going, heck with you, and leaving.
Remember the days when being on the phone was actually being on the phone. You know, like, I wrote an article about this recently. On the phone meant you were standing either by the kitchen or the hall with that, you know, phone on the wall with a long cord. If you were lucky, it was the 25-footer that you could stretch. But you were on the phone. You know, you weren't doing seven things at once. And, you know, I love technology. You know, we have a son who lives across the world, and FaceTime has made it seem very close. And that, so I do love technology. I love all it brings. But when it rules our life, then it begins to kind of invade on our relationships, our emotions. And there are times when I'll look at my daughter and she'll be texting me. All of our kids are grown now. They're in their 20s and one just turned 30. And I'll pick up the phone. I'm like, four texts in, I'm calling you. We can just chat on the phone or we can see each other. And it's not allowing technology to rule you or your business or anything else that might take you away. I'm a really big fan of being intentional, because a lot of times what happens is we're just kind of on a path. We've got our blinders on. We're walking down the road. We're in our business. We're multitasking. And suddenly we look up and we have, you know, there's a wake behind us that is a mess, you know, of neglected relationships or business not going well because we haven't been intentional. So I'm a big fan of really being intentional and then being engaged wherever we decide to be, time-wise or energy-wise.
And listen, like I said at the top of the show, I have been there. I have done that. And I love what you're saying about being intentional, because there came a point in my life where, look, I have arranged my life to where I like it. I am a committed introvert. I would rather be hit by a beer truck than get married again, thank you very much. And I will never, ever, ever allow somebody to live in my home with me. Mm-hmm. However, that came at a great price. It did.
Right.
Not just to me, but to people around me. And I recognize that. And that's when I started saying, Denise, you've got to be more intentional about your relationships with people, whether they're virtual, whether they're business, whether they're upfront and personal. You've got to be intentional, and you have to be present. For somebody like me, who just kind of does what she wants to do when she wants to do it, that was tough.
Yeah.
That was very tough.
Yeah, it's interesting. I love that you're sharing this, because, you know, it's funny. I talk a lot about how when I'm sitting with clients and I'll tell them something or coach them in a certain way, and this little voice in the back of my head will say, well, are you the pot or the kettle today, Susie? Because the very thing I'm coaching them to do, I'm not doing. And I'm like, oh, right. You know, I'll say to somebody, you know, put down the phone. And I'll think, oh, right, like you did last night during the movie. You know, you were on the phone while you were talking to your, you know, you were on the Facebook while you were watching a movie with your husband. Or one of my daughters, she's very much into quality time. And she can always tell if I'm multitasking. She's like, Mom, are you listening? And I had to really pause and go, you know what? This is the relationship I want to care about. Nobody else matters as much as these few people in my life. And I do. I love virtual online relationships because I've met some great people that way. And I think even there, when I'm chatting with somebody online, we can be present to them versus having seven screens open. What do you think of that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, when I'm talking with a client or I'm even emailing another client, I've got three monitors. I have two iPads. I've got an iPhone. I focus on one thing at a time, and that took some training. That took some mental toughness, I have to tell you. Because I think the more intelligent people are, the more they think they can multitask. And when you start to rein that back, and I've been working on this for quite a while, but I make it a point. I will. This is an exercise that I do, and I did it before we got on this call. I stand up, I turn my back on everything, I take a deep breath, and I look heavenward to the sky, and I set my intention that I'm not going to lose focus during whatever it is that I'm doing. And it's almost like I'm retraining my brain. And, you know, look, I slide all the time. It's like, ooh, I need to go make crawfish etouffee. Woo! And off I go to the kitchen. But I will pull myself. We're all going to do that. It's part of the human condition. But I'm here to tell you, multitasking is not a good thing. And when you're multitasking in a personal relationship, whatever that relationship is, the one that we're having right now, I would be doing you a tremendous disservice if I was checking email or looking at my phone or doing anything other than listening very carefully to what you have to say.
Right. And I would say that's true for professional relationships as well. Probably, you know, equally so. I think that that's a place where professional relationships are beginning, and the professional business world is beginning to go, oh, wait, it does matter. It really does matter that we invest time, energy, and engagement with people we want to have a relationship with. It's interesting, Denise, we've done a lot about, you know, I can hear some listeners thinking, yeah, great, so I get it that we're supposed to have these good relationships, so how do we create them? And one of the things I talk a lot about is this idea of listening. And I remember when I first, you know, put that down as one of my big aha skills, I had a friend laugh at me and go, I listen all the time. And I remember thinking, well, do you? And do I? Do I listen all the time? You know, if I'm listening, a lot of times when I'm listening, I'm thinking about what I want to say in response, versus a couple of different times during our interview, you've actually said, I listen intently, and there's a pause before you respond. And I really like that, because to me that says you're fully present to what I'm saying. Then there's the moment of let me think about how I want to respond, and then I'm going to respond. Where a lot of times I'm so guilty of thinking of my response while the person's talking, which means I'm still only half paying attention. Do you know what I mean?
I think we're all guilty of that. Listen, I don't know about you, but I have entire conversations in my head with a person who's not standing in front of me. I mean, we all do that. It's like, you so-and-so, you did that. It's ridiculous, and it's a total waste of time, but I think you're right. I think that part of the way we listen these days is so we can rebut whatever's being said to
us.
Not smart. It's really not smart. No. You have to take the time to absorb, give it a half a beat, and go, let me think about that. It's hard
to do. Well, especially because, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's difficult to do. You have to actually train yourself to do that unless it's natural to you. And I don't think it's natural to many people.
I would agree. I don't think it's natural because we so want to connect. You know, let's say it's not a rebuttal. Let's say it's a response. I mean, I am very guilty of the rebuttal. I mean, I have defensiveness and justification as my right and left hooks, and I'm ready to go, you know. You know, if there's a conversation where somebody might not be as pleased with me as I would like them to be. But let's say it's just a regular conversation where somebody's sharing about, you know, a trip or a business client or, you know, a business win. And we're so wanting to connect that sometimes we might, you know, jump on and go, me too. Like, me too, I had a good win, and we've suddenly hijacked the conversation. Or we may be thinking of our response, well, how'd you land that person? You know, and we're not really listening to all they're saying, and suddenly the conversation doesn't go as deep as it could. It doesn't go as well as it could. And so I think, you know, paying attention and pausing is such an important part of creating that good, you know, foundation or even opening or space for connection.
Oh, absolutely. I had an interesting conversation the other day with somebody about radio. You know, podcasting is very, very big right now. And it's a great way to get heard. And my platform, of course, is Blog Talk Radio. Now, I have microphones. I could use a microphone when I call in. But this goes back to what you were saying earlier about having that phone, you know, that phone with a long cord and being on the phone. Probably, in fact, there's no question about it, I would sound better on a microphone because I have a very soft voice. Sometimes I'm hard to hear, but I don't have the connection with the microphone that I do with the phone. I mean, this takes me back to my teenage years. I mean, think about that. You know, back when you're listening to your first boyfriend breathe and you're like, oh,
yes.
And you're so connected. It really does have that kind of connection when you're on a phone as opposed to a pair of headsets, I think. That's just my personal personal thing. That being said, I will always have a landline in my home. For me, and that's probably a big reason.
Yeah, we as well, and some people, my kids, will be like, why do you still have that? You're old. And I'm like, number one, sometimes the connection's better with all the cell crap.
Yes.
That's great. But I do think that's so important to, again, that those intentional choices. You know, I think
yeah.
in business, a lot of times we're so quick to move forward with something without thinking through, like I just love that you said that, here's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And so if I know why I'm doing what I'm doing, I then can move forward with a sense of confidence, which I hear you doing. This is what I do. I'm very comfortable with it. And this is what I bring to the table. And so a lot of, you know, I think all relationships start with our relationship with ourselves. And so how we feel about ourselves, how we view ourselves, the confidence we have comes from, I think, you know, you said very confidently, there are some decisions and lifestyle choices I've made that I feel really good about. And so I can say to my client, you know, these are kind of the parameters. If you're going to work with me, I'd like you not to be driving and eating. And if that doesn't work for you, that's okay. But here's the parameters for working with me. And that takes a real sense of self to do that. I really like listening to how you've kind of set up your life and business.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I want you to talk to us, if you don't mind, about your book, because it's a big title, and it makes some big promises.
It really does.
It really does. Listen, Learn, Love, How to Dramatically Improve Your Relationships in 30 Days or Less. Look, I believe that it can be done in 30 days or less if you're intentional. I do. I mean, I see it in myself mm-hmm. all the time. I see it in other people. But if you don't mind, Susie, talk about the three skills. I mean, can you kind of break them out for us?
I will. I would love to.
Because
let me address
one
the 30
of them. I don't know about the other.
Let me address the 30 days first, because that is something that everybody asked me about. And quite honestly, when that title was pitched to me, I did not come up with a subtitle. My editor did, and the publisher. And I kind of went, oh, that sounds like so salesy. And she looked at me, and the male publisher was there, and they kind of looked at each other, and she said, do you want to like your title or sell books? People want to know that you can help them. And my integrity kind of kicked in, and I went, wow, do I really
yeah.
make a difference in 30 days? And I thought through my clientele list of 20-some years of working with people, and in 30 days, we've usually had, you know, 2 to 4 conversations that are anywhere from, you know, 30 to 90 minutes long, and the skills and the things that we do in those 30 days or in those few sessions really make a difference. And so as I was able to kind of take a step back and went, well, yeah, it is true. I don't say I'll fix everything. I say we'll dramatically improve. And a lot of times when people want to work on their relationship, you know, we don't buy vitamins, we buy aspirin. You know, they're like, we're at our wit's end, we got to talk to you, or my wife said I had to come and talk to you, or, you know, we're calling you because our business is suffering because we're fighting so much. And what they're really looking for, Denise, is hope and relief. And in the first few times we talk, some of the programs I give them to use and some of the skills, they really can get hope and relief, and they come back and go, okay, we're doing better. Now what? And then we move into kind of the deeper work and some of the things that really help them build a stronger foundation. I liken it to the beach body, you know, where they say 28 days to a beach body. And it's quite honest that they say online, they're like, but you might have to do the cycle of 28 days 3 or 4 times. So it is possible to experience improvement, but we don't fix everything in 30 days.
Okay. I know her. I know the gal that created that program. It's actually a
you
very,
do.
Very good program. Mm-hmm. It's a very good program. Okay, so I like that. I like that you had to really kind of look at that title and go back and go, well, darn, it is true. And you're right. Once you start getting a little bit of relief somewhere, whether it's
mm-hmm.
just you by yourself or it's you
mm-hmm.
with your clients or it's you with your spouse or your children. Look, I have to be intentional about my relationship with my pets. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a dog, Abby Rose. She's outside chasing squirrels right now, only because her bed is in the dryer and she thinks she's homeless, so I put her outside until it dries.
Yeah.
But I have to be very intentional about going out with her at certain times of the day to chase squirrels because she really expects that of me. And I can tell when I've let her down. I mean, it's you would think that that's not important, but it is because it's your integrity. You brought in this dog, you brought in this person, you brought in this business. It is
sure.
now up to you to nurture this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
so.
Agree. We have a pet that's funny. My husband will be like, well, we can't leave her alone too long. You know?
Right.
and he's really right. So So let me unpack these skills for you. I'll do them one at a time, and we can discuss them. So the first one's listen. And as I said, my you know, people kind of look at me and go, well, duh. You know, listen. Everybody listens. And so under each skill, I have some tips as to, I talk about what they mean and what they don't mean, and then I have a couple of tips to really grow those skills. I talk about how these are really simple skills. They're elegant skills because they can, when you begin to finesse them, a little bit of tweaking can make a really big difference, you know. And so with each of the skills, I, like I said, I have a number of tips. I'm going to go through one. You know, we talked about the pause and pay attention one, and just really listening and focusing on, you know, all of the ways people are communicating. Our body language, we communicate 70 to 90% with our body language, or nonverbal, I'm sorry, with nonverbal communication, which is body language, tone, inflection, you know, all those kind of things, in addition to the actual words we're saying. You know, cadence, all those things really communicate a message. And, you know, I had did a speaking engagement with some businessmen a couple months back, and I said, have you all had your wife kind of go, cross her arms and go, I'm fine? And it kind of chuckled, and I'm like, and what does that mean? And one of them in the back of the room goes, she's not fine.
That means you better get yourself to another zip code and bring back flowers.
Yeah, and he was like, she's not fine. And I was like, exactly. How did you know that? Well, the way she was standing, the tone of her voice. And so one of these ideas is look at the whole picture, because he could have said, oh, good, I'm glad you're fine, and walked on, you know. Then he would have been in another zip code. So that's a real big one to listening.
Right. Okay, so is there a subset? What's the next one?
You know, I'll do one more subset under listen, since we have a little bit more time. So one of the things people always ask about, and I'll say with respect to relationships, is what about feelings? And this is under the listening part, because somebody will come and say, well, I'm feeling neglected, or I'm feeling like you blew me off, or I'm feeling like you're not paying attention. Or they'll say, well, I shouldn't feel that way. And so I kind of teach this, that feelings are. You feel your feelings, and then you decide what you want to do about them. Because when we try to deny or dismiss our feelings, they are a bit like trying to hold a beach ball underwater. They pop up somewhere. And so they're going to come out somewhere. So I'm a really big fan of, you know, let's go back to the wife. Her feelings were she was frustrated about something. What she decided to do about it was not communicate it well. So it could be that, you know, we need to feel our feelings and then communicate them well as allow other people. You know, have a client come to you and say, well, I'm disappointed with the results, and I don't like this webpage, or I don't like the way you handled that situation. And for us to be okay with their feelings don't necessarily mean we're responsible. And we can acknowledge and say, wow, I can see that you would feel that way given what you've told me. You know, that helps me understand you by being open to hearing your feelings. And that's a really big part, I think, that we're beginning to see in business more. People are beginning to talk about the next level of connection really being the important part as we move forward, especially in the online world. Are you seeing that, Denise, at all?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And what happens, I have a virtual assistance group on Facebook, and you know, I am members of other ones, and I'm seeing an awful lot, and I think this is coming from new VAs. This is just my observation. I haven't done a study on it, but I think that people get very frustrated, and then they get snarky instead of doing exactly what you just said with the client and saying, you know, listen, I didn't understand that you would feel that way, but you know, thank you, and I may have a reason why I did it, and this is it. Let's see if we can maybe come to a compromise. But they'll just get snarky and say, oh, well, I fired her. Oh, well, that was helpful.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Like,
how'd that work for you? It looks like your paycheck went down.
Yeah, and now you just, you know, announce to the world at large that you're kind of a snot. That was great.
Right.
You know, it just.
Right. There you go.
Sorry.
You know, it's interesting. No, I think that's a great point, because most of the clients I work with, most of the businesses or corporations or even business events I speak at, I always ask, how many of you ever taken a class or a workshop in communication, you know, prior to your work experience, or that wasn't forced on you, you know, and like this one. And we don't learn communication skills in the same way we learn math or technology or, you know, how to drive. And so I'm a real big proponent of, well, okay, if you don't know it, let's learn it. So that's a really important part of, you know, the communication skills. The second tip in my book is learn, and it's really learn them. And I talk about treasure hunts. And this is, again, applicable to both personal relationships and professional relationships. And since you have a business radio show, I will actually give the example in the professional world. Learning people is learning about who they are beyond the surface. you know, learning maybe their love language or how they like to receive appreciation, learning some of their, you know, favorite movies and things about them, likes, dislikes, because when you take the time to learn somebody, you are, again, expressing care. So, for example, I have a good friend who, well, actually, I'm going to change that. She's become a friend. She was an online contact. We kind of connected, and we were beginning to chat and doing some collaboration together, and she had just had a hard day, a couple days, and, you know, I knew in our talking she had mentioned some organic chocolate that she liked. And so I was at the store and picked up a little bar of organic chocolate, popped it in the mail to her, and just said, you know, here, a little note. And it was because I listened and wrote a little note about, you know, my friend likes, you know, she likes dark chocolate. And she's pretty, you know, organic or, you know, whole foods. And so in doing that, you know, she called me and she said, no one has ever done that for me. And I'm not saying that to toot my own horn. I'm saying that because I've learned from other people who also do that, where you begin to understand how somebody likes to receive accolades. You know, there's a client I have who's very words-driven, and they would much rather me call them and say, hey, you did a great job, I love the way you handled that, versus writing them a note or taking them to coffee. And so when you think about your colleagues that you work with, how can you take the very next step? And it's just a little step to show them that you've paid attention, that you heard that their kid has a ball game. So you might say, you know, how'd the ball game go this weekend with your son? And then your colleague or your client goes, wow, this isn't just about a transaction. This is about us learning and growing a relationship that goes beyond the currency, you know, the transaction of the work we do together. That has been a huge success when I have coached people to do that, and even in my own life.
Oh, same here. Listen, and I like that you mentioned the love languages. That's the book by Gary Chapman, yes?
Mm-hmm.
The Five Love Languages. He has a great website, too, for our audience. And it does make sense. It took me the longest kind of time to figure out that my way of giving love is through acts of service. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knew? So
yeah,
it's good
interesting.
Finding
in my
things
book,
out
I talk
about
yourself.
This.
Yeah, as we usually for your listeners, let me tell you this: if you want to figure out somebody's love language, or you know, and the idea with love languages, it's the way we give and receive affirmation or, you know, feel good or connection. So it's not like you have to love this person like in a romantic way. It's relationship connection and how we create that. So usually we give in the way we like to be given to. So I'm a words girl. And so we joke that when my kids went to college, they got lots of calls and atta girl, atta boy, I'm here if you need me. But I don't think I sent them that many care packages because gifts aren't on my radar. And there's a love language, it's gifts, like little tokens. And it's a joke because, you know, their buddies would come in with brownies, and I'm like, here, put your buddy on the phone, I'll encourage him, and then you can share the cake. And so that's really important. But you mentioned active service, which is my husband's. And so I could tell him, hey, you're a great husband, thanks for helping me in my business. He's my director of operations. And he would say to me, great, can you just put the receipts from your last trip on my desk? Because then he could take care of it. And so you begin to learn.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so let's say you have a colleague who's always sending you a card or a virtual assistant. You'll know then, oh, that's what they like. And then you'll have somebody else who'll say, hey, Denise, I love working with you. You're my favorite coach. I love being your client. You know, they're going to be looking for you to say words of affirmation to them. So learning each other, again, is just a different level of connection that honestly, Denise, can catapult. It can 10X your business success.
It really can. I mean, seriously, as human beings, whatever we are, you know, we could be Donald Trump, we could be Susie Miller, Denise Griffiths, whoever we are, we want to know that we're making a difference. That's really all we want. We want to know that we're being heard. We want to know that we're not just wandering around in a vacuum. And that's getting harder and harder to find these days with people, you know, they're glued to their phones. It worries me. It's like we're not paying attention to our fellow man or woman or pet or any other sentient being, and it's not a good thing.
Well,
I'm very worried. I'll be honest with you. It scares me.
I understand that. We've become very myopic. You know, the last part of my book, Love, a lot of people are like, is this a marriage book? And I'm like, no, it really is a broad brushstroke that applies to all kinds of relationships. And I do talk about all kinds of relationships in there, you know, sibling, friend, parent, kid, and, of course, romantic. But I also talk about professional ones. And the love part to me is about saying the deeper yes. You know, I talk about loving well. what does it mean to love well? And sometimes, you know, it's that sacrificial, like you said, I need to go out. It doesn't matter if I want to or not. I'm going to go play with my dog because she needs that. She expects that. That's how I show care. You know, I talk about loving is living from your commitments and not your emotions. I don't know about you, Denise, but there's days that I don't want to get up and do what's on my schedule. I mean, I love my work, but I've made a commitment to be present, to show up. And so I work from my commitment, not from the emotion of the moment, especially in the fall when I'd rather be outside.
I'm having that day today. I really am. So, Susie, what big time am. So what do you do? I mean, are there any tricks or advice that you can kind of help us with to say, okay, I've got this commitment, and that's a big one for me. If I made a commitment,
yeah,
I darn well better do it, because I can't go to sleep at night if I didn't do it. I can't.
Right.
I will
yeah.
be, you know, trying to put myself to bed, because sleep is not something that comes natural to me. I have to, it's a process. And I will be, you know, going through my little, getting my jammies, take my, you know, take my hot bath, getting my jammies, you know, settle down, try to sleep. And
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, my little evil imp goes, you didn't do it. Oh, crud.
Right.
And
right.
oh, my God.
Right.
Well, I actually
it's
say
interesting.
A worse word than that, but, you know, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I had a gal, I want to share this one thing about loving well, because people go, that doesn't make any sense in business. And the other day, I was working with or interviewing a woman, her, about traffic and leads. I'm going to give a shout out to One Click Lindsay. And she was looking at my work, and we were looking at the potential of what we could do together. And she looked at me and she said, you know what? You've got some things in flux. It's better for you to not hire me yet. I mean, I was ready to plunk down my credit card. She goes, until you get these things figured out, then hire me. So she, you know, put, you know, about a month or two out, she said, we'll get back together and work together. Now, she put what I needed and what was best for me before her business, in that she made a customer for life at one level because she was willing to say to me, it's not a good fit yet. And so instead of taking my money, she, you know, kind of deposited it in my bank account, my emotional and relational bank account, that she was trustworthy enough to say, don't give me money yet. So, you know, there's no way when it's time to give money that I'm not going to hire her. Because she's shown me that the relationship and our working together is more important than her bottom line that month. And that, you know, I cite in my book Bob Berg from The Go-Giver, where he talks about that. That's a huge piece of building connection, you know, online, successful business, all that kind of, you know, that arena, that new reality you talk about, because it can be such a dog-eat-dog world that people pause and go, wait, you're really putting me first? Wow.
Absolutely. Listen, two shout-outs. Bob Berg will be on my show again next month. Go ahead and give Lindsay's go ahead and tell people where they can find her. It's a great story you should share.
Yeah, it's oneclicklindsay.com, L-I-N-D-S-E-Y. If you are driving, just remember this, traffic and leads. Search for her there. She's great.
There you go.
And, you know, I love when people are willing to, again, put the relationship first. Usually that comes, you know, around to benefit us tenfold. And I'm excited, too. I'm going to check out your interview. Bob's going to be on mine, I think, the following month. So he's a great guy.
He is. I love to interview him. And his co-author will be on as well. They're actually going to one will be on at the first half hour, and then I think Bob is coming on in the second half. So I would
That's
love
terrific.
To have both of them on. Okay, so
yeah.
Let's talk. Do you know that we've only got like 8 minutes? This
well, No way!
This went so fast. Okay, what
did
we miss? We were going down the list, so what did we bypass?
You know,
anything?
You asked me for some brass tacks. Let's
yes.
do some brass tacks. In 8 minutes, if you're listening, you're like, okay, all this sounds great, but what am I going to do different when I head home today or I head into work on Monday that's really going to make a difference? And so I'm going to give you, I always tell people, let me give you some of my best, like, you know, 24-hour immediate different makers, you know, way less than 30 days. And so this works for both personal and professional relationships, and it is the tip that I call validating and clarifying. And here's how it works. When somebody comes and shares something with you that might not even be the best, you know, it may be feedback that you didn't want to hear. They're less than happy with you. Instead of defending yourself, instead of explaining yourself, try saying, huh, can you tell me more about that? Try saying, huh, help me understand how that made you feel, or help me understand how I could have done that differently. In that moment, what you're doing is you're letting them know, I see, I hear you, what you think and feel matters. And that can change a conversation in a nanosecond, because what they're expecting from you is, well, here's why that didn't work out for me, or you shoulda, woulda, coulda. And very few people expect us to say, huh, what was that like? Gosh, you must be really disappointed, or I understand that, or help me understand how you feel. And the reason I think we don't do that is we're so afraid that we're saying, oh, I messed up on purpose, and we're not. We're saying how you think and feel matters to me, and it is a game changer, Denise.
Trust me, I know. I learned a long time ago. Believe me, I've seen this from both sides, me doing it and people doing it with me. And all of a sudden, animosity, antagonism, anger, hurt, it all just kind of takes a back seat. You go, oh, okay, well, let's talk about this. And it may well be that you were the one in the right, but it gives you the opportunity, once you've heard the other person, to explain why you did what you did. And it may well be that you really messed up, been there, done that. It also gives you an opportunity to say, I am so sorry. And I promise you, I learned a big lesson. I learned it, you know, in a way that I didn't like, but it's learned.
You know, I learn lessons the hard way too, Denise. I tend to not be, you know, the quick learner sometimes because I'm so stubborn, but absolutely. And I think you said it so well. Suddenly the whole tenor changes and things relax and the people realize that the relationship's more important than either one of you being right, and you actually work together towards a solution.
You really do. I mean, once you kind of clear that fog, because like you said earlier, you've already got the rebuttal in your head, or maybe I'm paraphrasing me, but you've already got the answer or the response in your head.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that 100% of the time, that is not the right response.
I would agree.
Yeah. 100%.
I would agree, because all that's saying is, I'm waiting for you to stop talking so I can tell you what I think and how you're wrong. And that's, you know, that's never in communication 101.
Okay, so keep going. I don't want to interrupt you anymore, I promise.
Oh, no, no, it's great. It's fine. It's fun to see. I think, you know, a couple of things I talk to all my clients about is, again, not practice makes perfect, practice makes comfortable. You know, I'm very open about the fact that while I've been doing this for years and I'm professional at this, I make more mistakes than you could even imagine. Like, I'm still learning to not, you know, defend myself. I'm still learning to pause and pay attention. I'm still learning to validate. You know, and one of the things I really talk about a lot in my book is that practice makes comfortable. You kind of get comfortable in these skills, because when you first start using them, they feel a bit like stiff jeans. And I joke about the fact, you know, for all the boomers out there, we remember buying jeans that stood up by themselves, and we put them in the washer, you know, and banged them till they got soft. You know, pre-washed jeans didn't exist when I was growing up. And so stiff jeans is a good example of these just aren't comfortable. But the more we do it, the more we validate, the more we pause and pay attention, the more we really engage, the more comfortable we get with it, and then it becomes more and more natural. And so that's a big piece of it, to really give grace and be willing to say, I'm in process, I'm working on this, because it's important to me. And I think sometimes, in even the toughest of relationships, professionally and personally, when people know that we care enough to work on growing, again, it makes that deposit in the bank of, you matter to me. And you said this earlier, people want to know they matter. They want to know they make a difference. They want to know you care. So I do. I love the fact that I get to work with, you know, individuals, men, women, couples, as well as businesses, and, you know, speak at events and really talk about what it means to connect on a level in a world that really is being more and more connected technologically, but less and less connected personally. And I think that successful people, people who are really going to knock it out of the park, are going to be those who really learn how to navigate the relationship issues that come with every changing new technology, and to be able to say, you know, we can connect on Facebook well. You know, I'm going to do one more shout out. There's a woman, Jeri Freeman, on Epic Connect. She all talks about, how are you chatting on Facebook? Are you saying me too? Are you asking questions? Are you affirming people? And suddenly I was like, wow, it really does apply to every arena of our life. You know, relationships are the currency of today. They really matter. And I love, Denise, that I get to help people create great ones. And, you know, I have a podcast that I talk to people about how they navigate the whole arena as well. You know, I love getting up every morning and doing my job, so it's been a blast to be on here to talk with you.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I've really been looking forward to this, because I've listened to you, and of course Brad is a good friend of mine. We've got 90 seconds. Don't go anywhere. Yeah, it's just, I'm really, really excited, because, listen, as much as we think we need to say, oh, I'm a business person, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a web developer, and give ourselves titles. Mm-hmm. The truth is, Susie, we're just people.
Mm,
we're people who can
so
do
well
some
said.
Extraordinary things. So mm-hmm. I think trying, this is just my observation, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this. I think trying to separate ourselves from being a human to, mm-hmm. and being a business person, I think is causing more trouble than it's worth. What do you think?
I would agree. I think that if the millennials, and Brad and I just did a blab on this morning about boomers and millennials, we're doing a series together, I think that that's something we can learn from the younger generation in terms of they're very integrated. They're very, like the whole, well, you're sharing your whole life out there. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be, you know, authentic, yes, and transparent, but there's this idea of they're very much more integrated in the fact that who I am and what I do aren't two separate things. They're just me. And while they might need to learn some relationship skills from us, there's a mentality that really I think we can learn from them in terms of the interconnectedness of all of it. And so it does matter. It's not like you can draw a line in the sand and say, this is my business persona, this is my home persona. People don't want that anymore, and it does impact us greatly. I think you really said it well, Denise.
Oh, thank you. I've been watching it for a long time, and I was guilty of it. I think we all are. You know, people say, well, what do you do? And, of course, you immediately, I will say, I'm a web developer.
Mm-hmm.
I probably should just say, I'm a human. How about you?
I'm a human.
Yeah. Most days
I love
I'm
it.
Human.
Yeah, it's true. It's funny. I remember a quote that really spoke to me years ago, and it's by Thierry Desjardins, and it says, we are not human beings. We are not spiritual beings having a human experience. I blew that. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And in that moment, I was like, wow, that really does speak to how interrelated, interconnected we really all are. We're just spiritual beings, you know, clothed in skin. So let's get on with connecting and building great relationships and defining ourselves by who we are. One of my coaches, actually another good friend of ours, Jim Palmer, the newsletter guru, always said,
yeah.
Right, you. I think that's how we connected the first time.
We did. We were in his mastermind group.
Yes, yes. We're paid more for who we are than what we do.
That is brilliant.
I mean, well, he really is brilliant. I'll give him that.
He was one of the very first people I started. Joel Kalm and I'm trying to remember her name now, and Jim were the three people I started following around in the very early days of
mm-hmm.
social media and the internet. And, you know, there's a reason for everything. Rosalind Gardner, that's who I'm thinking of. But anyway, Suze, thank you so much for being with me here today. It's been wonderful chatting with you. I know our audience enjoyed the takeaways as much as I did. Tell people where they can find you.
The best place to find me, the hub for everything, the easiest, is SusieMiller.com, and that is SusieMiller.com, and you can find everything there.
Great. Well, listen, everybody, the show will be available for download in about an hour. And you can also find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Susie Miller. And I will see you next week. Susie, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.